Hi, what's your favorite kind of lube? Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent music podcast about the music news and music culture that matters. I should really get better at delivering that with a straight face.
You should just change it because I physically can't say half of the fucking lines you make, so I'll just make it my own.
Well, how'd you like your little vacation?
More sleep.
Well, we had a week, as we do every week, and music came out that week. This week, the music that came out was Lil Peep's posthumous album, Come Over When You're Sober, Part 2. Mm-hmm. Muse's album, Simulation Theory. Mm-hmm. Imagine Dragons from Behind. We have some takes about that. Oh, yeah. And factually, that's a... So you don't have to. But firstly, we're going to talk about... It's a tight episode. It's a tight Toyga episode of Audio Face. It's going to be very short, mostly about music. So it's going to be something that Sean's probably going to like.
Because there's two albums I've been looking forward to, and then one that I'm like, I'm just not going to...
Yeah, so long as you can just stay awake for it. So, Earl Sweatshirt, Nowhere to Go. We just listened to this single. It is our single of the week that we are talking about. A segment that we do every week on the week. And yes, it is very eclectic, to say the least. It's short, about a minute 52.
Yeah, a little bit 2 minutes.
Yeah. Those are the days, right?
Seriously. It's fun. It's really electronic experimentally, which is my favorite shit. So I'm like, if Bjork wanted to rap, that's what it sounds like.
It's very alternative, because you can say electronic experimentally and you can be talking about like Sophia. It's a very like hard sound, so right?
Alternative, like Adams for Peace, you know, like a Bjork.
Yeah.
Like a, just try some alternative shit with some electronics, make it weird, and that's what he did.
Kind of flowy almost, but still had its own like kind of noise and vibe to it. Yeah.
Noise is like moist to me. I don't know. I don't like that word. Noise.
Noise.
I don't know. It just sounds weird to me. Anyways, it's actually pretty cool. The new Earl sweatshirt, because Vince Staples had a tease this.
Yeah. I don't even think this was part of the little tease that was on that album.
I don't remember. Possibly.
Yeah.
I'm surprising if it is. That's kind of dope. And Vince gets Vince credits for that.
And now... one of the most interesting So You Don't Have To's we've done in a while, in the fact that it's not trap. So You Don't Have To is not a trap only thing. I mean, we did Tenacious D last week, so you know, we're keeping it real. But,
real in the streets.
Sean brought up to me that Imagine Dragons released another album, and I was like, really? They just released an album. And they did in 2017. And I really.
Really? They just released another album. Yeah, they did in 2016.
No, Smoke and Mirrors was 2015.
Oh, really?
No, 2014.
2014, no.
Then they released a deluxe version in 2015. Oh, but they've been releasing, you know, they've been on a 1.5 year, 2 year thing, which is, like, usually not great, but...
Okay, like, eh.
Yeah,
I mean, you can Coldplay and make it really good and then make it really bad, or you can Imagine Dragons yourself and just make it really bad.
So I think there's a, like, there's an interesting way to explain this segment, and I think the best way is to just, like... get a little bit hood and go straight into our chat. Because you'd said Imagine Dragons' new album, so three albums, referring to how many albums we're reviewing. And I said, nope, made the executive decision purposely not to do an Imagine Dragon album. They release a new album every year with the same whiny fuck shit from their last one-hit wonder song. Sean, because I refuse to listen to this album, tell me if I was right or wrong.
All I know is that... why does the dude yell so much? Every song, I swear to God, the guy's like fucking yelling. I don't know. It literally sounds the same. It's super repetitive and it's annoying. I've never been a big Imagine Dragons fan because I think they're... I don't know. I just don't like the guy's voice or the production. It's so like in your face and yelling and it's not creative. And a lot of people like it and I don't understand why. They are fucking the Nickelback of the 2010s, so... you know, go home and rethink your life. I almost wanted to say KYS, but I think I'm...
we are reviewing Lil Peep right now. I would like to acknowledge that Thank You Next by Ariana Grande came out, but for those of you audio face purists, you'll know why we cannot really talk about that. So, instead, let's talk about something that's a lot more safer territory. Their surveillance video of Tekashi 69 almost getting shot again.
Oh, yes. So much yes for this.
From our friends at TMZ.
You like my favorite website right now, just for all the fucking SoundCloud rapper deaths and showing and beautiful.
TMZ has like the best SoundCloud rappers nearly getting cut off the map, like footage. It's wonderful to have. Basically, Kanye West was back from his African awakening, but actually, he also performed at Flogna as Kid Cigars. But he and I believe Nicki Minaj. We're also filming a music video, and...
Why the fuck? What are you talking about?
This is Tekashi 6ix9ine. They're filming a music video with Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently in the video, you see two cars pull up to the Beverly Hills home on Thursday night at around 10 p.m. Two men get out. It appears one from each car wearing hoodies. One's name's Ed Wunsler. One's name's Jim Rummy.
And Rummy are international criminals.
They scramble back inside their respective cars. One, a light-colored sedan, speeds off. Wait, hold on, sorry. I'm a little bit ahead of myself. They look for a few seconds for their main target and fire a barrage of shots over the wall. Both appear to be men. You hear male voices. One appears to say, "We got 30 seconds. And the other responds, "Okay," just before they begin firing.
And then Raid pops on from MF Doom. Mad villainy.
Dun, 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 dun. One bullet landed in Nicki Minaj's dressing room. She hadn't arrived at the time of the shooting. Cops are on the hunt for the shooters.
Damn it, Ed!
The only reason you escaped from that is because you on the police! Tekashi just really has beef, especially on the West Coast. I don't know why he's here.
I'm surprised he's not killed yet.
Anyways. Speaking of, this is a really morbid episode of Audio Face, as all of the best ones are. A bunch of never-before-seen Prince music videos are beginning to drip out onto the internet. And it's chilling. Vivo. It still hurts a little bit that Prince is gone.
I'm never gonna get used to that. There's a few that I'm like, really? Which is Prince. Michael Jackson was the hardest for me when I was a kid. I'm like, wait, what?
I still remember where we both were.
I was like, are you gone?
I was playing TF2.
Like, we were literally both playing TF2. I'm like,
it's like, I'm not fucking around. Michael Jackson's dead.
I'm like, wait. What?
Yeah.
MJ died. Not a good day. And Prince died. I just won't ever forget. The worst tweet I've ever seen in my life, which is Bam just going, no, and I didn't even have to read the article, I knew exactly what happened. I go, Prince died. I go, motherfucker.
So, the time has come for you, my friends, for us to review Lil Peep again. Lil Peep has released a new album, or he hasn't, because Lil Peep has passed.
Rest in peace, Lil Peep. Poetry is in the streets.
He has peeped one last time. But some of his previous peeps are available on this album, Come Over When You're Sober, Part 2, which is 13 songs long.
Jesus Christ.
And actually under 50 minutes.
There's the two bonus tracks, Falling Down and Sunlight on Your Skin.
I'm including those.
You're including them? Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't really make them, but okay. The rest he made.
Really?
Well, the one, Falling Down, XXXTentacion, everybody's favorite Forker made, was Lil Peep made.
I thought these are just features, not like who made them, if you're just reading off the track listings.
No, I believe XXXTentacion made this song, because he said, let's do this one for Peep. And then he makes a song, because Peep was dead when that song was...
I keep forgetting how quickly these people died, that like, I forgot that XXXTentacion and Lil Peep just didn't die on the same day.
No. Lil Peep died last year.
Right.
XXXTentacion got fucking popped in what? August? July?
It was really that recently?
Yeah, because we were talking shit on him and then he died and then we scream laughed.
I forgot that. totally happened.
Oh, I told Bam, by the way, I told Bam that we fucking put the TMZ feed on repeat, and Bam scream laughed. He was on Xbox mic, and he just lost it. He's like, you guys are fucking sociopaths. Like, but the dude forked the woman. He goes, yeah, he kind of did barbecue fork that poor girl. I'm like, fuck, I didn't even say barbecue forked. I mean, that's an accurate representation, but Jesus.
Anyways, this is supposed to be a little peep review.
Yes, now we get into the little peep.
Nappy and so. Hose. You're just playing with my hair stuff, because this is what happens when you do it in my room. Pause. So,
oh, jeez. Pause.
So let's just jump right into the song. And you know,
on the album, Come Over When You're Sober, part dos.
Part two. Yes.
I know you don't like Lil Peep, or like you didn't like Come Over You're Sober part one.
And we listen, you listen, you actually gave Lil Peep a lot more of a chance than I did.
Because I like two of his songs, that's why.
Surprising.
Again, I have to be in the mood for it, but I do genuinely like two of his songs before this.
Well, were you in the mood for some emo shit?
Today, early, like...
When you were listening to this album.
Yeah, because I was driving home from When the World Was on Fire in the valley.
Oh.
Literally, the 101 was here. I'm going to show you how clear the 101 was.
I've never seen this before, but please continue talking while you're searching for this.
Literally, the 101 was empty. Because I was the only person on it.
That's really funny. There's a little motorcycle there, too, and everything.
That was a cop.
Oh, that's funny.
I was literally the only person on the 101 freeway for about 16 exits.
So...
Because I was coming home from my grandparents while the entire world was on fire.
Did you like this album?
Yes and no. There are parts I did really like, and there are parts I didn't like. Overall, I'd say I probably would actually like this album.
Interesting.
Again, it's hard because I want... He can't, obviously, since he passed, but... I wanted to refine some of his sounds because I see there's so much that he was trying to do, and some of it hit and some of it missed. So that was something I think he could have gone over in time and maybe cleaned up a bit. So it's this whole emo trap thing, which is a very interesting mix. So there's a couple songs. The first song... That's
a very good way of putting it, but continue.
Broken Smile is okay. The second song I like is Runaway. The song... Hold on.
Sex With My Ex.
Sex With My Ex. I'm trying to remember. I have to grab my headphones, actually. Cry Alone is a really good song, actually. I like, as of the lyrics. Because it's reflecting on the past and reflecting of, like, stuff that so traumatizes you and everything that you try to, like, put as your log to burn to keep going. The production of the songs is a little meh, but the one song I did liked a lot was 16 Lines, actually. Probably possibly my favorite on the album.
Ooh, that's a really druggy song.
Of course it's a really druggy shit. Lil Peep, for fuck's sake. Every song is druggy.
And
by the way, Falling Down is good literally until the forker starts fucking rapping on it. Because Lil Peep's part in Falling Down is really fucking good. And then stupid fucking blue hair, I'm glad he's dead, XXXTentacion.
Wiggle legs.
Wiggle legs. He didn't wiggle legs. The dude who shot him four times had wiggle legs. Oh, wiggle arm.
Can
wiggle
you
arms.
Imagine XXXTentacion's nerves as like...
Oh no, he got wiggle arms, heavy. You can see his left arm out the window of his fucking i3.
Audio Face, the only podcast who will describe the gruesome last moments the blood flowed through his body and all the detail absolutely required for the audio format.
Anyways, Falling Down's a good song until then, literally. And then the overall album, there are songs I really like, there are songs I really hated. So it's, again, him trying to figure out how to blend the two genres and not sound literally too depressive or not make it sound too generic trappy, too generic sound clappy. So it's that interesting mix. So to me, extremely experimental, but a lot more refined than his first album. Because his first album sounds super raw, like really, really raw. And this one is a couple of tracks I can hear where they were still unfinished in a bit. And there are some that, okay, if he can make an album full of things that sound like this, like 16 Lines, Cry Alone, if you make the more of the lyrics along those lines, something that's really, really meaningful, then I think a complete album from him would be fantastic. But again, we're not going to have that. So unless the Peep family does a Michael Jackson route.
I mean, first of all, we don't know how many... So I was kind of reading the background of this, and there's just a bunch of unreleased music and parts of songs that Peep had available. And the producer of this album, so it wasn't fully him, but it was like producers who worked close to him. Apparently one's named Smokesack, and one's named Lars Stalfors, so he's probably tall, I assume. But I assume he worked with these people, and they have a bunch of a backlog of songs, and these are SoundCloud rappers or SoundCloud artists. Yeah. So they might have an album's worth. They might have 10 albums worth.
Yeah.
Like, so.
So again, that's what I'm saying with this album. Some of the works, I can tell which songs he actually finished before, and I can tell the ones that
got stretched.
That got stretched, or like they're too raw. And that's my critique of the album. But I said again, you don't know because of he's not around. So.
I would figure that the raw ones were the more like finished ones. Because maybe those are the ones they thought, oh, let's leave this like exactly as he left it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like...
Some of the raw ones are really good. And some of the production ones just sound a little off. They sound like they are too... Like the track is literally too long. Or they made it to where they put too much shit into it. Like the first song is pretty trappy.
Yeah.
And that one sounds a little too produced to me. Like, okay, this is a bit much. I didn't like that. Some of the raw tracks are a bit better. Like 16 Lines. Okay, I can understand that. And the first part of the XXXTentacion one is good because it's raw and you can tell it's a shit. And then the Forker comes on and just ruins it.
Because, like, I was so with a lot of this album, even with, like, the modernization of emo rock. Like, trying to... Because there is a newer thing with... In all genres of music, with like how drum beats are and how the electronics are, but like I got sucked out of it every time I heard that fucking like quadruple hi hat.
That's something I think that one of the producers really made that, because there's a couple songs where I didn't hear it and I heard more guitar and other things, which are in his tracks in the first album, which is what I like. Those are the tracks I usually like from him.
Yeah,
and then the ones that I heard, I go, why the fuck would you put a snare in there? You don't need it.
It just immediately sucks me out of, like, the whole experience as it's happening. And so I just, like, kind of hate it all, like, even from there. And so, I don't know. I guess, like, I can try to be happier about this album. And honestly, I will say this. I do like it a lot more than I liked his previous Come Over When You're Sober Part 1. I think it's actually a more listenable thing. And I'll give it that. It's more listenable, it's more enjoyable. I kind of understand what's trying to be achieved there. And so, yeah, I'm gonna be sort of okay with this. I would rate this... What should be our ranking system for this episode?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I know you couldn't just kind of pop that question on you. So let's use acres. How many acres does this album burn? The more acres...
That's way too close. The burn, the fire was literally 2K from my grandparents' house. Jesus. Okay, is burning acreage good or burning acreage bad? Like,
what?
Because usually if you say this mixtape is fire, it means it's good. So
yeah, this mixtape is... Woods fire or campfire. 44 people died. It is the most deadly fire in.
Is this good or bad? I don't understand.
That's probably bad, but it sounds like it should be good.
Okay.
Let's make it good.
I'm gonna go the LA fire last year. We should have gone to Getty.
No, the one that like started 2018.
Yeah, exactly. The one I was in Colorado and I come back and I go, why is the world on fire?
Yeah, it's like, that is...
So we're going to move on.
Yeah, pretty interesting. What this is LA fire? For me, this is the...
You just said it's campfire.
Oh, yeah.
You fucking mumbo?
No. I didn't say campfire. I'm just like making that example because it's not that big. I'm not saying that album's that... Like, that's a deadly fire.
Oh.
In a bad...
See, the LA, LA one, I don't know how many people it killed. All I know is it should have blown up the Getty. I would have been down.
I enjoy the Getty as a museum, but I think it got a lot of rich people's houses, which I'm chill with. It got,
it got hella rich people's houses.
Who is
houses.
It? God damn it. Rupert Murdoch.
You get Rupert Murdoch's house. Also, this one's getting hella people, rich houses people, and I'm like, yeah, the socialist firewall, right?
That is frontier justice. So, that was a good gun.
That was such a good gun.
you got some crits loaded in the back.
Dude, the frontier justice with crits. You just death on a fucking stick.
That's what Red Dead needs.
Dude, if I need a frontier justice in Red Dead.
Needs crits. Okay. So, I have a curveball for you, Sean.
Go.
Did you see this article? A Polish talent show performed Drake's Hotline Bling wearing blackface.
He literally painted himself to look Drake, and it is the most beautiful fucking thing I've ever witnessed in my life.
It's bad.
It's so beautiful.
But Drake did it.
It's so amazing, and I hope Drake sees this. And I hope he gets a bitch fit, too. Because he's a fucking little bitch. I really want to give Drake another little bitch award. You know what? Oh my god, Drake's on the front runner now.
No.
Because Drake is just a fucking little bitch.
Oh, shit.
Drake is a little bitch because he's like, I got racially profiled. Oh, my fucking casino.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Sean, with another layup.
He's a fucking little bitch.
You said you were tired, Sean. You're killing it.
If I hear Drake, I like get triggered because I'm like, fake Jamaican, what? I don't understand how anybody doesn't call him out on being a fake Jamaican.
I mean, people have mentioned it, but they say that, you know, because Toronto had a big Jamaican population and he lived
there. He likes the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hockey team.
Buffalo.
There are no Jamaicans on ice.
Okay, but that's because the hockey rinks are too cold.
Exactly, so he's a fake Jamaican.
No, but there are Jamaicans in Toronto. Dumbass, okay? Anyways.
Toronto's cold as fuck.
Ludacris and Migos are doing an anti-Super Bowl. As long as they have plantations in Toronto, they'll have black people. Ludacris and Migos are doing an anti...
It's too cold to have plantations there.
My take was too cold. Ludacris and Migos are doing an anti-Super Bowl show in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Well, I guess that's implied in the Super Bowl. So earlier, before the Super Bowl happens, they're going to be doing their thing. You know, it's kind of been a blackout because... no black artist really wants to be seen supporting the NFL right now with the whole Kaepernick thing, which is why Maroon 5 will be performing the halftime show.
Oops. Which we talked about a while ago, so.
Fucking moves like whiter. And now, it's time for us to talk Muse's simulation theory.
Musa.
This has been, so, I did a whole little, like, bonus what Muse is kind of preview, and before we went into our Muse review, I just wanted to just really fast in like 2 minutes talk about your favorite hits of Muse and how you felt they've changed from like when they began to recently.
Well, I've been a big fan of Muse most of my life. Alternative English artists, like they one of my favorite songs from them is Assassin, which is on one of their first albums. Or Urgent of the Symmetry. So they've been starting since the 99 Showbiz, which I don't really remember.
Me neither. Barely remember.
But I mean, they had some of the best alternative albums of all time. Absolution, Black Holes, and Revelations. Those two albums are fucking ridiculously good. And then they've always been experimental, different, have a very distinct sound, but they're like the Radiohead where they try different themes along the lines. Resistance was really good. Second Law, I loved personally. I know there's a lot of people who don't like the Second Law.
I talked about that specifically. I talked about how you and I have very different opinions.
Fucking love
the
Second Law.
So make your case here. Let's sidetrack here.
Since 2012 was the start of dubstep really getting around because Scream decided to fucking make garage beats and then some cunt with a half-shaved head decided to take those beats and go crazy mental and take some Zans on them. And fuck up them, and then Scream said, fuck you, and I'm gonna be house DJ from now on. And then that's the world of Scream. Anyways, so in 2012, a Second Law had some, I called it Muse Step, where they had some songs where they try to implement that sound, but do it in a weird experimental way. And there were some ridiculously good songs on that album. Like, Man is a Good Song, Panic Station, Survival, Follow Me, Save Me, I really liked. And then you got to the experimental stuff, but I think it's severely underrated by a lot of people. I like the turn that they did. And then they went to 2015 Drones,
which I hated because it literally reverted back to the sound they did 10 years ago. And I go, why? You were changing your sound? I loved it. It was good. You're experimenting, doing different things. And then you literally reverted back to the same rock that you did. And that was a big problem in 2015. Anyways, my 2 minutes are up exactly.
Wait, before, because I have a little bit to respond to that. My only thing to say is I agree with you mostly. The thing I hated about drones is an entirely different reason. I hated drones because it kind of unironically droned on with its kind of uber fake woke political message. Yep. I mean, like, we're getting into Tom Morello territory of, like, just kind of overlapping.
Yeah, it's not love if you made it.
Right, yeah.
Which is...
sprinkled with subtleness, and, like, that's kind of just where that is taken. So that's just all it is. But, anyways.
Which this album is interesting.
Simulation Theory is, in my opinion, kind of trying to encapsulate a Muse sound, but kind of harkening back to the 80s, but just a bit. Really playing with newer sounds in a way, but not too much trap snare. It's strange. There was indeed trap snare. I was kind of annoyed.
What?
There was indeed trap snare. I was kind of annoyed.
There was only like two tracks. There was trap snare. So one thing is interesting on these, Muse, they released a lot of singles, which they never do.
I didn't listen to anything but one of them.
Well, I listened to the singles before. First. Dig Down was the first one, which came out in May, because they released them really spread apart until coming up to the album right now. But Dig Down came in May of 2017. I remember that because I was in the parking lot at Cerritos College when I first heard it. And then the other ones came out before the album was released. But all of them except Dig Down, I kind of hated the singles. I thought they were like super electronic and like all over the place. And just I did not like them at all. Still don't. For the singles. So the singles, the ones I really, Dark Side, Something Human, Thought Contagion, don't really like. But the album doesn't start off with them. It starts off with Algorithm, which is a really good track. Mm-mm. I quite like. The one song I did like on the Thinius Dark, the Dark Side, the one, the piano one. Because I forgot they released two batches of fucking singles.
Yeah, the Dark Side was like a really almost Tom Yorke-y kind of
thing. You know, the first two songs on this album are amazing. They're really, really, really good. I go, holy shit, where are the album? Where's the singles? Why isn't the whole album like this? And then it gets to Pressure, the third song, and I literally skipped Pressure. I listened to half of the song, and I go, I can't do this song. Boom, switched.
What was it about Pressure?
I don't know. I just didn't like it. It just kind of droned on for me. There was two songs I really hated, which is Pressure and then Propaganda was just... I'm like, okay, you're trying to be woke, I get it, but...
Propaganda sounded like Undisclosed Desires and Madness, like, had a child out of wedlock.
Propaganda, hate, Break It To Me is okay, Something Human, don't like, Thought of the Canadian, don't like, Get Up and Fight, good, Blockade's okay, Dig Down, really like, The Void, maybe if I'm in the mood.
This is extremely mixed.
It's just like a little peep album, extremely mixed. The first two songs, though, bangers.
Interesting.
Fantastic first song. Like, so the second song is Dark Side is really good.
I think the Dark Side is okay.
I don't remember listening to that on the singles, so.
I actually like Propaganda.
I don't like Propaganda. I'll be real. Don't like Propaganda at all. I mean, I don't like Propaganda, but I don't like the song Propaganda.
I like the song Propaganda. It grew on me, is the thing.
I think, honestly, I'm going to have to listen to this album again. I only listened to it once.
I listened to, because I just have...
I've been
Dave Chappelle crackhead scratching myself for some Muse recently. And so, like, I've been really happy to listen to this, and...
I mean, I am too. I just had negative time and or cell service, so I couldn't...
Well, I had a lot of time and a lot of cell service.
Yeah, so...
I did.
Okay.
This is like one of those fires that starts because a volcano is just like spewing hot rocks places.
The Hawaii fire that happened not too long ago.
No. Like, in Hawaii.
Was yours?
Yeah, this is mine. Because this has a button.
Oh, it's a button, okay.
In Hawaii, you just have lava coming out, but...
No, there's a big fire on the...
The rocks shooting out like... the volcano shooting out flaming rocks that... The rocks turn the land on fire.
That did happen on the Big Island.
Okay.
It had a mini eruption.
You know, you're right. Yeah,
and then they set fucking palm trees on fire in the I'm just.
Yeah.
You anyways, I'm going to go to the fire in Chicago.
The Great Chicago Fire.
The Great Chicago Fire. So, like, something memorable, but it could also be low-key forgotten at times. There you go. Chicago Fire. What was that, 1910?
Right.
Something like that.
While you were away, there were just a bunch of new releases that got announced.
Oh, yeah, I looked at them. So, like, that's a lot of shit. So Goosey, the Goose. Oh, my
Goosey.
God. We're going to have the fucking Pearl Harbor Day. We have two traps.
Yep.
And
Offset solo album, baby. Three's Company. Good Things Come in Threes. The trilogy. And guess what?
That's not all one day, is it? Please tell me that's
not
one day.
No, those are 2 weeks apart.
Honestly,
we probably won't do it because Audio Face Awards.
We're going to just so you don't have to, because we have to listen to The Goose is Loose, and 1,000% I'm listening to our boy, Picker Sits and Lean, that's by Those Sids, has a kid, 21 Savage.
If it is, it's just like a rumor at this point. The Gucci Mane's confirmed, 21 Savage.
Yeah, I know,
like
that's confirmed. I heard about that one.
Offset is definitely happening, so yeah, think about this.
Okay.
In 3 months, we will have had an Quavo solo album, a Takeoff solo album, an Offset solo album, and Culture 3.
Oh, fucking. I just quit this podcast. So, everybody's favorite fuckboy of the weekend, chapter 6, 2019.
Fucking perm ass. Priest.
Priest, you fucking perm. What are you talking about my hair for? We really need to watch that Fluff movie again.
Superfly is so bad, it's good.
It's so bad, it's delicious. I just want to watch it for the Lexus, to be honest. Vampire Weekend. I haven't heard them in a minute. Sometime
coming
next year.
Coming in 2019. Vince Staples is going to release 2 albums next year.
Ooh, he's doing the 1975.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about that. I hope he does well.
I mean, then, if he does a 1975 version, I'm down as fuck. Let's see it.
Homeshake, Indie Genius, is releasing an album February 15th.
I haven't heard that name in a fucking minute.
Yeah, so.
So we got some good and we got some dog piss shit.
Can't quit the podcast yet, Sean.
I'm getting close. But there's stories like this. I read this story when I was on the couch at Katie's thing, and her friend looked at me and was like, what are you laughing at? I go, I don't even want to explain this, but because I just started scream laughing.
I saw your cursor hit that. And just
we were right, because we were talking about it, because you saw my cursor hit that, and I wish you just would have saw my face and just crying of beautifulness.
So we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note. And today, T.I. has denied involvement in an alleged $5 million cryptocurrency pump and dump scam.
It's really bad. It's really, really bad. In 2017, 25 investors contributed $1.3 million for now worthless securities called Flick Tokens. By the way, what a name, Flick Tokens.
That's a name and a half.
So they literally pump and dumped their Bitcoin. Like, yeah. He bought investors to buy it at market price and then just sell it as fuck.
Suckers. Fucking suckers.
It is a bit of fall.
Investors claim Felton and TI allegedly drove up the price by pumping and dumping the tokens. And according to Chapar, TI's conversations about with Felton about possibly becoming an investor were relatively short-lived. Tip is currently suing legal recourse of his own too because he feels like a victim.
It's just
I love it. 2018, no one is safe. Everyone is just looting capitalism while they can. It's an alluring option, to be honest.
And this is out of your face. I'm gonna go the fucking sleep. Bye.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe. Hey, follow us at Audioface Pod on all the stuff. You can follow me on fucking Twitter, which I never use, and Instagram, which I occasionally use. I'm getting better at because I set alarm minders to fucking post shit at SW Suarez. You can find this fuck at 2 different names because there's just some goddamn fuckface who has his name on Twitter since 2009, who hasn't used it since 2009, at Dan from the web, because the guy from Dan from the Internet has a fucking name, and then you're at Dan from the Internet at Instagram. Shut the fuck up. I can do plugs. Go sleep.
Cheers.